Welcome to this podcast.
Water Polo Expert Talk. Get the insights. And you already mentioned that you are also joining six times the World Championship and Pan American Games also several times. Maybe you can give us some more information about these kind of Pan American Games, because we already have, or I had the discussion already with some men players from the US saying, okay, this is at least for the US or North America, really a big thing and a big tournament and big achievement when you made it to the medal round. What was your memories from the Pan American Games?
Yeah, my first Pan American Games were held in Toronto. So that was super cool to be the host country and to have my family being able there to like watch. And it's really like a little taste of the Olympics, because you got obviously the whole Pan America is all playing every single sport. We have major games like operation. So everybody's in, from every sport is wearing the same uniform. And that's such a cool thing to experience for the first time, that you're not just wearing like your Water Polo Canada t-shirt. You're like, I'm wearing my Team Canada outfit, and every other athlete, like all 500 of us plus staff, like we're all wearing the same athletes and we're all wearing the same uniform and we're all here for the same purpose. So that was a really surreal moment. And walking out during opening ceremonies too at home was really cool. But that tournament is always super fun. We have so many games in such like a short amount of time. Like it's these last Pan Am games, we had five games in 5 days. And we played all of our games at 8 a.m. So that was like an insane experience. Like, I think we know that water polo is a difficult sport and it's hard to play world championships to be performing for like 10 days straight. But to be performing 5 days straight, like before you can even, like normal people are even having a cup of coffee, like that was a whole other thing. And, but yeah, it's so cool, like being able to play in front of so many different countries and having like our own mini Olympics. I guess like not very many other sports get that experience. Like in Europe, you guys have Europeans, but it's just water polo. So we're lucky to have that, where it's like a multi-sport tournament.
Yeah. So it sounds like a little bit bigger than really the European Championship.
Oh, for sure. It's like an Olympic game. Like we're in a village, we have a cafeteria. You know, there's transport with like, just like the Olympic Village, there's the Olympic, or there's the Pan Am Village transport and everything. So it's like a huge multi-game operation.
Okay. So and now you have also the experience from Paris last year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now you can maybe a little bit better compare both with each other. So what was your, let's say, memories from Paris last year?
I mean, comparing the two, they operate essentially the same, obviously on very different scales. Like the Olympics is much bigger than the Pan American Games. But yeah, the Paris was an amazing experience, like within the village and as an athlete, at least because we do have the Pan Am Games, it's not something that's too foreign for us. Like we understand how operations happen in the village and how we have to go in and out of certain venues. But having my family there and also playing past the group stage at that venue where we had like, I don't know, like I can't even remember how many people were seated at that arena. That's how many people there were. There were so many people. But yeah, being able to play for more than like 2,000 spectators was something that I will never forget for sure.
Mm-hmm. So, and are there any plans to join also Los Angeles then in 3 years?
Right now, I am still very much an active member of the senior national team. Yeah, so it's definitely in the cards.
Who never knows?
No.
It's really not something which is a good, let's say, plannable. That's the right word. Yeah. So it's not really then the best thing to plan if somebody is joining some Olympic Games, which is so far away. So many things can happen in the meantime.
After a certain point in your career, it's really hard to plan for those like 4 years. And I think also after like the COVID Olympics and then Paris being so close to each other, like those two cycles were a lot for a lot of athletes. So thinking about LA is, it's not that it's so far away that it's hard to think of, but after those two cycles, it was like, it's a difficult transition.
Makes me thinking is that so many women or young women also listen to the podcast. When you say, okay, I have, let's say, 2-3 things in terms of advice for young athletes. So are there any things you can say, okay, the younger age, these 2-3 things are the most important ones?
Yeah, I think for me, I would definitely tell everybody to be resilient. And that's more like, it's a really short way to put it. But I think like, if I look back on my career, you know, people told me I wasn't tall enough, I wasn't good enough, or anything else really. Like there are always people who are non-believers in what you believe yourself to be able to do. And hard work will always prove them wrong. So sometimes it can be really difficult to hear what people have to say, but if you're resilient, anything can happen. And I also think with that, I would say like to always look at the silver lining. Like for me in my career, I have played a lot of games. I've been able to go to every single tournament, but I didn't make the Tokyo Olympic roster, and that was a huge shock for me and for my career. And looking back, I can definitely see the silver lining. And even while it was happening, I knew that there was a silver lining, that there was a reason that this was happening, and I could work past it and I could push past it and really reach a whole other, and I reached a whole other level that I never knew was possible in terms of my performance. So sometimes these roadblocks are put in our path for a reason, and how we choose to react to them can really change the outcome of our future. So those are the two things that I would recommend to younger people.
Yes, which is interesting because in the last podcast, also somehow not the same, but the feedback of this kind of answer question was, there is always some light in the dark. Yeah. So at the end of the tunnel. So when you have difficult situations in your career, as you mentioned, you're not making it to the roster for a specific tournament, for example. All this might happen due to whatever reasons, and you have to deal with it and not only seeing the negative points of view, yeah, or the negative points, but also saying, okay, for a specific reason, this might happen right now, and I have to deal with it, and I have to think positive also during this hard time at this moment, for example. Yeah, so it goes somehow in the same direction.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, like I do believe that these things happen for a reason, whether or not you agree with them. Like for me, I don't think I'll ever agree with what happened in Tokyo, but I still used it. I still decided how I was going to react to it. That was something that I could control. And I think that played a huge role into where I am today and the career accomplishments that I made after Tokyo, which surpassed anything that I did before, in my opinion. So, yeah, taking control of that narrative.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you already mentioned that you're also going in the coaching direction a little bit more, if I understand it correctly. So are there any plans after your active career to be a full-time coach?
I'm not sure. I did take like a little dip into full-time coaching. I coached at the University of Michigan in 2022. And yeah, that was a really big shock for me. As an athlete, you are thinking about water polo a lot. But when you're not at the pool or if you're not in the gym or you're not fueling yourself, you take a rest. But in that position, I really realized like, wow, coaches are thinking about water polo actually nonstop. Like, this is not a job that you can just go, okay, yeah, I'm on the pool deck. I'm here from like 8 to 5, and this is when I'm doing all my practice plans or things like this. Like, it's really a full-time job, especially in the NCAA when you're coaching young athletes who are also in like a really transitional position point in their life. They're leaving home for the first time, they're studying a really difficult topic, or they're going through normal life challenges. So also having that aspect of being a support system for these athletes is a full-time job. So in that sense, I don't think that coaching full time was like for me. I definitely do love coaching goalkeepers and the more technical aspects of it. So I think having it on the side and just being in charge of like my goalkeepers, I'm doing that this year with like a small group of athletes. So we'll see how that goes. But full time, I don't know if I'm ready to think about water polo 24/7, to be honest.
So maybe in this case or in these kind of situations, somebody have really to rethink the role or responsibility of a coach. As you said, you are thinking when you have a full-time coaching job, you are really thinking full-time about water polo. So it's really then also some kind of educational things and helping through the first not so small problems in the private lives of many people. That's a different challenge. Absolutely. I would say we start with the quick fire roll. So with a quick fire round with 5 questions for you. So very interesting. Looking forward for your answers. So let's see. Question one would be your favorite pre-game snack.
Oh, pre-game snack. I don't usually do, but I always have like 2 shots of espresso before I leave the hotel. So I don't usually eat very much before games.
So in this case, espresso is also a
Espresso.
snack.
Yes.
The best and most important save of your career so far.
Oh.
So many savers.
I think the most memorable, which was also really important, I don't know if the most important, but it was at Fukuoka. So that was 2022 or 20, no, 2023. Sorry, 2022 World Championships in Fukuoka, I think 2022, sorry. We were playing the 7th, 8th place against Greece, and we ended up going into penalty shootouts. And I love penalty shootouts, so I was super happy. And I had already made 2 saves in the penalties, but we missed one, and the goalie saved one on the Greek side. And I had to make a save to basically secure our win to get 7th place. And Nicoleta Eleftheriadou, she was a really good shooter from Greece. She or Nicoleta, I can't remember her last name. Yeah, I stopped her penalty. So that was, I think, probably one of the most important saves that I can remember of the most recent water polo. Yeah.
Perfect. Question number three is, if not water polo, what sports would you do?
I think I would be a volleyball player.
Oh, as you mentioned that at the very beginning, yeah. So
yeah,
the only available other sports beside water polo.
Yeah, I actually had offers to play Division II volleyball in the U.S. like leaving high school, so it was kind of a it was a close call, but I mean, I couldn't.
Yeah, so after so many years, maybe it's not so easy to say I will leave more or less water polo and going to another sport. Yeah. Who's your favorite teammate?
Oh, my favorite teammate? That's going to get me in trouble.
So many, the whole team. So
yeah, I mean, I'm really lucky I made like a really close group of friends playing water polo. But my best friend from water polo, her name is Gurpreet Sohi. She was on the national team until 2022. And yeah, we are like still best friends to this day. So probably I would have to say her.
Yeah, so which is a good sign. Yeah, so when it goes over the active career beyond.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
I would say perfect. Yeah, so during the career, it's easier, but after active career to maintain these kind of relationships beyond the active career, it's much more difficult in most of the cases.
Yeah, and actually, that made me realize that the game for Fukuoka was 2023.
Okay, 2020. Yeah. So which is not so far away. Yeah. So last question for you. Then we done all the five questions. Which German player or team can you remember from your career so far?
I've never played a German team.
Oh, so which makes it easy for this answer.
Yeah, I've never played. Like I did play a tournament with a German team in 2016 when we had the Olympic qualifiers for Rio in Gouda in the Netherlands. Germany was there, and I remember thinking, like, oh, this is the first time I've seen the German team, but we never crossed over with them.
Okay.
So I never played.
Yeah, so maybe in the future. So at the moment, the women's are very successful for Germany.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a chance.
Yeah, maybe World Cup coming up.
I think Germany women's team, it's absolutely fine with that.
Oh, perfect.
So before we leave the podcast for today, so what are your next tournaments, important dates for you? What comes next for you?
I will be playing in Conference Cup with a Turkish team. So that comes up in November. And with the national team, we will be having World Cup Div 2 qualifiers in April. So those are the next two major competitions.
Okay. So April next year?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So, which is good for the planning. Yeah. So for the schedule.
Yeah, there's lots of time to
good. I have to say it was a pleasure to have you here in the podcast. So thanks for joining again, taking the time today for us. And so as already mentioned, maybe then there might be some more connections to Germany in the future. Mm-hmm. And talk to you soon then somewhere in the pool or...
Oh, sorry. I said thank you so much for having me here. It was really nice talking to you.
Thank you, and you're more than welcome.
Bye.
Bye. I'm through.